ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, The First Step in God Realization, Text Number 25. Andakoshe sharirasmin Saptavarana samyute Viraja purusho yosau Bhagavan ధారణాశ్రయః. అండకోశే శరీరేస్మిన్ సప్తావరణ సంయుతే విరాజ పురుషో యోసౌ భగవాన్ ధారణాశ్రయః. అండకోశే శరీరేస్మిన్ సప్తావరణ సంయుతే వైరాజ పురుషో యోసౌ భగవాన్ ధారణాశ్రయః. అండకోశే శరీరేస్మిన్ సప్తావరణ సంయుతే వైరాజ పురుషో యోసౌ భగవాన్ ధారణాశ్రయః. అండకోశే, వితిన్ ద యూనివర్సల్ షెల్ శరీరే, ఇన్ ద బాడీ ఆఫ్ అస్మిన్, దిస్ సప్త సెవెన్ ఫోల్డ్ ఆవరణ కవరింగ్ సంయుతే హ్యావింగ్ సో డన్ వైరాజ ద జైజాంటిక్ యూనివర్సల్ పురుష ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ యహ దట్ అసౌ హి భగవాన్ ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ ధారణ కన్సెప్షన్ ఆశ్రయ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద జైజాంటిక్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virat conception. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Simultaneously, the Lord has multifarious other forms, and all of them are identical with the original fountainhead form of the Lord, Shri Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it has been proven that the original transcendental and eternal form of the Lord is Shri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. But by his inconceivable internal potency, Atma Maya, he can expand himself by multifarious forms and incarnations simultaneously, without being diminished in his full potency. He is complete, and although innumerable complete forms emanate from him, he is still complete without any loss. That is his spiritual and internal potency. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, manifested his Virat Rupa just to convince the less intelligent class of men who cannot conceive of the Lord as appearing just like a human being, and that he factually has the potency of his claim to be the supreme absolute person without any rival or superior. Materialistic men can think, although very imperfectly, of the huge universal space comprehending an innumerable number of planets as big as the sun. They can see only the circular sky overhead, without any information that this universe, as well as many other hundreds of thousands of universes, are each covered by sevenfold material coverings of water, fire, air, sky, ego, noumenons and material nature, just like a huge football pumped and covered, floating on the water of the causal ocean, wherein the Lord is lying as Mahavishnu. All the universes in seed are emanating from the breathing of the Mahavishnu, who is but a part of a partial expansion of the Lord. And all the universes presided over by the Brahma vanish when the Mahavishnu withdraws his great breath. In this way, the material worlds are being created and vanished by the supreme will of the Lord. The poor foolish materialist can just imagine how ignorantly he puts forward an insignificant creature to become his rival incarnation. Become his, H's capital, his rival incarnation, simply on the allegation of a dying man. The Virat Roop was particularly exhibited by the Lord just to give lessons to such foolish men, so that one can accept a person as the incarnation of Godhead only if such a person is able to exhibit such a Virat Roop as Lord Krishna did. The materialistic person may concentrate his mind upon the Virat or gigantic form of the Lord in his own interest and as recommended by Shukadeva Goswami, but he must be on his guard not to be misled by pretenders who claim to be the identical person as Lord Krishna but are not able to act like him or exhibit the Virat Roop comprehending the whole of the universe. ओम ज्ञानचन्द्रान्तस्य ज्ञानार्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साकृजागं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम Hare Krishna. So, in this purport, we can see many very important philosophical points which have very significant impact in our life. So, I'll try to explain the connection between matter and spirit, as is seen in different ways in this purport and the purports which are following and a few before. So here, as we can see, the Virat conception of the Lord is elaborated in this section. So here I would like to say that primarily we can derive three important points from this. One is imposing God or Krishna onto the dull matter. So, it's an imposition of spirit on matter. So that is one concept that we can see here. Second one is seeing Krishna in matter. So seeing Krishna's presence in matter. So there is a difference between these two. We will see that. That is the second. Third one we can see is transforming the so-called dull matter into the spirit. So we can see in these three different ways, kind of connection, kind of link between matter and spirit. So as is given here, the description here given is primarily about imposing spirit into matter. Imposing God onto the matter, the material nature, in its completeness. So that is the concept of Virat Roop or Vishwarup. So we can see a few different perspectives on Virat Roop, on Vishwarup, from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So first we will try to see what is Virat Roop. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, Vishwarup Darshan, in the universal form, it is very clearly mentioned what is meant by Virat Roop, because there is a lot of misconception about Virat Roop. So especially if somebody is from Indian background or have gone to India or have read Bhagavad Gita, some people come into a wrong conclusion and wrong understanding about Virat Roop. So many people say, who is supreme according to Bhagavad Gita? First they say Krishna. Then after thinking deeply, they'll say, no, Krishna is not supreme, Virat Roop, Vishwarup is the supreme. You might have heard this answer many times. Because when one sees, they can see that the Lord is gigantic, covering the whole universes. So they come to a conclusion that the absolute truth is the Vishwarup. So this is one kind of misconception. So, and also we can see many so-called incarnations as mentioned in this purport can't actually manifest this Vishwarup, which they have to ideally. So, now let's try to understand what is Vishwarup. So here in Bhagavad Gita it is clearly mentioned Tatraikastam, Jagatkrishnam, Prabhavishtam, Anekatha, Abhashyam Devadevasya, Sarire Pandavastatha. So, Vishwarup is nothing but the whole entire universe is manifested in one place. So this is the Vishwarup as shown by Krishna to Arjuna. That is, the entire material creation is manifested in one place, even though it is composed of practically unlimited aspects to it. So it is at one place. So Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, Tatra Igastam. Tatra means there. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that this Tatra, there, is very significant in this verse. Tatra Igastam Jagat Krishnam. Jagat Krishnam means complete, in its completeness, is manifested in one spot. It's not just looking at the whole universe, but at one spot. So Prabhupada says that Krishna and Arjuna are on the chariot and they could see the entire universe in one spot. And for that, it's not possible by ordinary vision. So Krishna says, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu Paschyame Yoga Maisharam. I will give you the divine vision through which you could see this whole entire universe in one spot. So that is one aspect of universal form. Now, the second aspect, this is the aspect given in Bhagavad Gita. The second aspect of universal form is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is a difference between these two. The difference is that in the Vishwarup that is shown in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna showing that to Arjuna, is the entire manifestation in one spot. And it is not possible to see for others, but with the Divya Chakshu, with the divine vision, Arjuna could see. Now here the point is that it is not an imagination. It's a reality, because Arjuna could see the entire universe, including everyone, including different planets, including Brahma. Everyone he could see. So it is a reality. But when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, when it comes to this first chapter in the second canto, there is again given the description of Vishwarup. So here the Vishwarup is given as a very interesting word is used. It is called Kalpitaha. Kalpitaha means imagined. So in the 10th chapter of second canto, Bhurlogo Kalpita Padhyam Bhuvarlogosya Napitaha. So it is mentioned that Bhurloka is Kalpitaha Padhyam. The feet is imposed, or imagine the feet as Bhurloka. And Nabhi, consider the navel as the Bhurloka, or the earthly planet. So this is an imposition of certain ideas onto the whole universal manifestation. So imposing something onto the matter. So there is a difference between these two understanding. That is the first point I would like to make. Now, making it clear, so they see that, okay, the matter is God. So this is the philosophy of pantheism. Pantheism means seeing matter as God. Not as energy of God, but seeing matter in itself as God. So, in the usual Vishwarup description is such that they see the entire universal manifestation, top planetary system, middle planetary system and the lower planetary system as the body of the Lord, and the body of the Lord is nothing but what one could see imperfectly, because we don't have perfect vision. That is mentioned in this purport that even the scientists are trying to find out this world, how it is, and it is very difficult. That's why there are a lot of grants, and the funding is going on, and the research is going on and on and on. They are not coming to any conclusion, because it is impossible to come to any conclusion even just observing the matter. It's not possible to come to any conclusion about just matter. Forget about spirit, because our vision is imperfect. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this purport that they get a little bit of a glimpse of the matter, that's all. But a perfect understanding is impossible on a material plane. Now, for whom this Vishwarup is meant for? So again, there are two classes of people for whom this Vishwarup has significance. These two classes are, one is gross materialistic people, and second, impersonalists. So these are the two classes of men who, for whom this Vishwarup is meant for. This, the concept of pantheism as such is meant for. And here we can see very interesting point that the Vedas and Srimad Bhagavatam consist of a wide variety of topic. The pantheism, it's not a huge, it's not a big concept as such. It's a very lower understanding of the Supreme Lord. But still, Srimad Bhagavatam covers that. And Sukadeva Goswami, in the second canto, in the beginning, presents it as the first step in God realization. So it has its place. The Vedas is comprising of all kinds of philosophies in its essence. And we can see how beautifully Srila Prabhupada connects even this pantheism to the highest understanding of Krishna consciousness. We'll see as we go. Now, here, who is it meant for? First point was gross materialistic people. So, Parikshit Maharaj asked the question in this chapter, that is, how to remove the dirty things from the mind? So, even we have dirty things in our minds, no doubt about it. So, think about somebody who is grossly affected by material nature, gross materialist. So much contamination in the heart. And Parikshit Maharaj, out of compassion for them, asked this question, how to remove these dirty things? Then, the initial step mentioned by Srila Goswami is the description of universal form of Vishwarup without root. So, Srila Goswami says that by this meditation of the universal form, even though it is not on the highest plane, because the materialistic people do not have access to the Sachidananda feature of the Lord. If we say the pastimes of the Lord, and if we explain that that personality has an eternal form, it is impossible to understand. We can tell many pastimes, even if we can present the highest pastimes, it will only degrade their consciousness. It is just like, it's no different from watching a movie. If we tell big, you know, intimate pastimes of Krishna to a materialistic person, for them it is no better than watching a movie. When one watches a movie, one identifies with the hero, heroine like that, and one imagines. That's how one enjoys. In the same way, when they hear this kind of pastime, they imagine themselves to be Krishna, and they think about their own enjoyment. And we can see there is I was speaking to someone yesterday, then we had this talk about this, what is called, Dandiya, Garbha, we went to Monash University one time. You were there? Monash University, yeah, you remember, yeah. So we went there, it was a Janmashtami celebration. And we were invited to do a program for Janmashtami celebration. So we asked Anirudha Prabhu to give a lecture, we went with Prasadam. So initially there was a Mayavadi was there, a Mayavadi Brahmachari quite famous in Melbourne. He gave a lecture, I was there, I heard carefully. He was quite a good speaker. he didn't speak about merging or anything, he tactfully spoke, you know, for the audience. And then Anirudha Prabhu came and he didn't sit for that lecture, immediately he left. And we said, you know, why don't you sit and listen? He said, no, I'm busy. He immediately left. And Anirudha Prabhu gave a wonderful lecture for about, you know, 45 minutes, 1 hour like that. Even though the allotted time was only 20 minutes. He explained everything, Vishnu, Krishna, full explanation. It was a very beautiful lecture. And after that, we had some trivia night or something, you know, the students arranged something. And at the end, they said, why don't you wait for our dance? You can also join in. And they were asking us, you know, have you got any Garba music on us? I don't know, we have only Hare Krishna. So they had, in the center there was a, first time I was seeing, so it was pretty curious, I was quite curious, what's going on? There was a murti of Krishna in the middle, and they have a music, and they will dance, boys and girls dance around, just like a Rasa dance. So this is gross materialism. And it is considered, that basically who participate are there in a highly lusty. Lusty people participate in this. It's a third class thing, low class. So this is materialistic understanding. And for them, if we speak about Krishna, it's of hardly any use of speaking about the intimate pastimes of Krishna. So the heart is completely in lust. So it is mentioned, so for them, there's no point going to the higher aspect, but focus on what they can absorb. Bhagavad Gita says, 7th chapter, Avajananti ma mudha manushintanu maasvata parambhava majananda ma bhuda maheshwaram. So, mudha, foolish people, unintelligent people, they consider that the Lord has a material form just like one among us. They cannot understand the eternal aspect. They cannot understand He is the Supreme Lord. They cannot understand. So for them, meditation on the universal form and thinking, considering the whole universe as the body, as a form in itself, will be beneficial, because that will help them to understand there is something beyond their own enjoyment. They can understand, okay, there is a concept of worshipping. So that will elevate their consciousness from own enjoyment to something higher. So in that respect, this universal form has significance. The philosophy of pantheism has significance. Then Srila Prabhupada makes another very interesting point. He says that, quoting Bhagavad Gita, in the one of these purports in this section, he says this description of the Virat Rupa is for asuras, for the demons. So who are the right candidate for Virat Rupa meditation? Is Prabhupada says asuras, the demons. So that is a very powerful statement. And Srila Prabhupada says that those who cannot accept the Sachidananda form of the Lord, they are actually asuras. Mudhas, they are asuras. And for them, at least, they can understand, okay, something there is beyond. And there is some form. And not only that, Srila Prabhupada says that the asuras picks anyone and accept them as incarnation. So this is asuric mentality. Imposing a human being as Supreme Lord, as an incarnation of the Lord, it's a demoniac mentality. And there are so-called incarnations around the world. Especially in India, there are many incarnations. Just human beings, maybe they are some swamis or this or that, they claim themselves to be incarnations of Krishna. In other words, they say they are God. In fact, there was one person who became a later devotee, but he wasn't a devotee. And he used to check out different philosophies. This was in Bombay. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, in Juhu. And this devotee, in his pre-devotional life, he used to go to a Mayavadi Swami, an impersonal Swami, and he also used to go to Srila Prabhupada. So when he used to go to this Mayavadi Swami, he would listen all this impersonal philosophy, and then he will come and repeat to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to smash. So he was checking out. He said, there are some people who come to the temple, they will come here and they will go somewhere else. So they will come with some preconceptions about the whole idea, and it's very difficult to convince them, because they will, you know, before you speak, they will speak about everything spiritual in a completely different way and completely nonsensical way. So this guy was doing the same to Srila Prabhupada. So finally Srila Prabhupada said, if your Swami is God, go and ask him, please show your Virat Roop. So he was a sincere person. So he went up to this particular Swami and asked, Swamiji, please show your Virat Roop. The Swami said, he became very upset. Swami became very upset because he claimed himself to be God, but at this point he became very upset and he said that, not now, later. So he came back to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji said, not now, later, because I am not qualified, so not now. Prabhupada became very furious. He chastised, he said, this is just rascal. He is just a rascal. Because if he wants to show you Vishnu, Krishna could give Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu. He could give the vision and he could actually show the Vishnu. And if he really want to give, he can actually show you also. He can give you the vision so that you can see. So he is simply cheating you. Anyway, it's good he became a devotee later. So this is the so-called Swamis, you know, who say, who can show the whole universe in one spot. At least if they can show their own disciples in one spot, that's a big thing. Correct? The disciples will be everywhere, followers will be everywhere. In one spot, if they can manifest all their disciples, then it's a big thing. It's possible, it's not possible. Then another Swami who passed away recently in a ventilator. So that Swami, in fact, very interesting thing, is one of his followers told that at this place, at this time, this Swami has shown his Vishwaroop. He's a doctor. This follower is a doctor. He's claiming, you know, his Swami, this Swami, particular Swami has shown Vishwaroop. The entire universe in one spot, first of all, they don't know what is Vishwaroop. But they have shown that in such and such time, such and such date. But unfortunately, this incarnation had to die in a ventilator. Sad death. So Srila Prabhupada very heavily criticizes these things in this purport. So these are, you know, so to convince them, to convince the demoniac persons, it is very important to have this Vishwaroop darshan, to have the universal vision of the universal form. Now, second class of people who, for whom this universal form is meant for, is the impersonalists. Because there are two kinds of impersonal meditation. One kind of impersonal meditation is meditation upon Nirakar, the impersonal aspect of the Lord. That is one aspect of impersonal meditation. And the second aspect of impersonal meditation is on the universal form. Understanding that the Lord is pervaded everywhere, or they may not accept a God, but the Absolute is pervaded all over, so they can see, okay, the matter is pervaded everywhere, so the Supreme is also pervaded everywhere. Because according to them, the impersonal Brahma is pervading everywhere, which is true. Sarvam Khalvidam Brahman. So they can see that through matter. So that is one another aspect of impersonal meditation. Now, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the 20th verse in the same chapter that to acquire such a God qualification of God realization in the personal feature, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. So, even for an impersonalist, to give an understanding that, okay, the energy is spread everywhere, there has to be an energetic. So, to give that indication, this pantheism could be used. So, that is one application of this pantheistic philosophy. Then Srila Prabhupada elevates this pantheistic philosophy to the higher aspect or the highest aspect. So Srila Prabhupada says that pantheism in its highest status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the absolute truth, but it extends the conception of the absolute truth into the field of the so-called material energy. Everything created by the material energy can be dovetailed with the absolute by an attitude of service. See how Srila Prabhupada is elevating this pantheism to the highest understanding of Krishna consciousness. That is, dovetailing this material energy in service of God. So see this energy in connection to God and use it in service of Krishna. The pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into the spiritual existence by this service attitude. And only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. So Srila Prabhupada is giving a link between this first step in God realization to the highest aspect. So this is first point that I try to explain. That is, understanding the concept of imposing God onto matter in the form of universal form. Then next one is the seeing Krishna or God in matter. So this has again different levels. It can start from the sadhana level, in the practicing level, and it can go to the perfected sadhya level. In all this wide range, seeing Krishna in matter has significance. So that's why in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita there are many verses. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi suriyo pranavasarva vedeshu kham shabdam khe pavushandrushu. So many verses like that. Balam balavatam chira chagam kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viridhe bodeshu kamosmi bharadashapa. Many, many verses describing how to see everything in connection to Krishna. Showing different aspects of Krishna, different manifestation of Krishna in the material realm. Srila Prabhupada made very profound points regarding this for a sadhaka from this verses and from this purpose in the 7th chapter, which is directly applicable for all of us. One is very interesting lecture by Srila Prabhupada on Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, and the whole background is very noisy of this lecture. Okay, and this verse was about shabdam khe paurusham drushu. Shabdam khe meaning sound in the ether. Sound in the ether. So Krishna is saying, I am the sound in the ether. So Srila Prabhupada is speaking in Bombay, and as we know, Bombay is not a very quiet city. It is a very noisy city. You know, the trains are going, everyone is honking. India in general, it is very noisy. And what about Bombay? It is just, you know, it's a chaos. And it's so noisy, and Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. And Prabhupada said, in the absolute sense, we can understand even this sound is no different from Krishna. Even this sound. So this is the consciousness of Srila Prabhupada. Even this honking sound, you know, with which we get completely annoyed. Srila Prabhupada said, even this sound should remind one of Krishna, because it is given by Krishna in 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That is Shabdam Khe. That is, I am the sound in the ether. So it's very significant point. And next, Srila Prabhupada gave another very interesting lecture regarding Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya. That is also very interesting, because one is, okay, if you drink water, okay, this taste of water is Krishna. So in that way you can see Krishna by just drinking water. If you are drinking 2 liters of water, and if you are drinking 8 or 10 times, so 10 times we can at least think about Krishna. And Prabhupada went up to even another dimension to it that we can see. That was Srila Prabhupada said that, okay, if somebody is drinking alcohol, you know, somebody really drinking, Prabhupada said, even that taste, that is also Krishna. He said, even one can make progress if one is violating regulative principles, if one is drinking alcohol, still if one thinks, okay, this taste is coming from Krishna, if one thinks that, okay, that in itself make him give him some advancement. Not recommended for us, but maybe we can drink Varuni. You know, Balaram Purnima is coming, because we can have Varuni and we can think, okay, this is not different from Lord Balaram, no problem. So these are different levels in which we can actually see Krishna. And we have to see Krishna in our interactions, because we are associating with the devotees, and also we are dealing with materialistic people. So in all respects we have to see Krishna's hand in our life. If we want to make progress, internally we have to be connected to Krishna, we have to be connected to Srila Prabhupada, we have to be connected to devotees, we have to be connected to our own Guru. If we have that connection, if we can feel that connection in our service, in our daily life, that is a very strong impetus for our spiritual progress. If we can see Krishna in our daily life, that is a strong way in which we can make progress. So whatever is happening to us, Srila Prabhupada said, in all circumstances, this is a guiding verse for all the devotees. What is that? Tathenikampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam hrithvat vabudhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipadesat dayabhak. He said, in all circumstances, tathenikampam, in all circumstances, whatever happens to us, when we see it as anukampa, when we see it as mercy of Krishna, then we can actually make progress to such a level that one becomes dayabhak, one becomes the right person to climb for liberation from the material clutches. Muktipade, or in other words, Muktipade means actually bhakti. One becomes the right candidate for bhakti. So, Prabhupada said this is the guiding principle for devotees in all circumstances. So, if we have that, or if we try to cultivate this mood, then we can see, okay, internally we are making progress. Apart from our external activities, because external activities there we are already doing, or if we are talking about full-time devotees, if you are living in the temple, okay, all activities are practically speaking service, pretty much. A majority of our time is service connected to Krishna directly. But now, if we want to make progress, okay, we have to look into ourselves, in which consciousness we are doing it, and can we see Krishna's hand? That makes a huge difference. So then we had to remember that even in our terrible conditions, you know, we can, you know, consciously, you know, we may be in a very wrong consciousness, even in the most difficult situation, still we can pray to Krishna. We have that free will. In any circumstance, we can pray to Krishna. Some, you know, the Maya is attacking so badly, and we may be thinking, you know, we may, you know, thinking, oh, how am I, what am I doing? You know, I'm in a terrible situation. But still, even at that point, we have the free will to call Krishna. The free will is not removed. So if we do call Krishna, even in that situation where we find it very difficult, but at least just call out for Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. Very important. Because we are being tested constantly. Only the degree varies. But the mind, you know, it is composed of three modes of material nature and is influenced by three modes of material nature. The Maya has the complete influence on our mind. So mind can tell many things. But ultimately, we have to understand, we have this choice to call Krishna, and we have to do use that. Then we can see how the Lord reciprocates. And when we see Lord's hand, that when we see the Lord's reciprocation, then that increases our faith. Then we can go to the next level. Then again, there will be tests, then the next level. So, bhakti means there are tests continuously, and we have to pass, and we have to go further. Even if we fail, still there is a chance. We have to increase this perpetually. And 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, one strong way is to worship Krishna in that way, in that connection, is to show compassion for other living entities. If you take some trouble to help any other living entities, that is the highest worship. So if that is a preaching activity. If you do that trouble, if you take that trouble in helping others, and that is considered the highest worship. So that is one way to connect to Krishna. Then, okay, this is I spoke on a, you know, practicing level, on a sadhana level. But this can exist even on a sadhya level, as a perfected, as a prayojan level. This, the same thing can exist, that is seeing Krishna in matter. So that is what is given in the same canto, in the second canto, in the Chatushloki, Yathamahamdi Bhutani. That verse is basically speaking about seeing Krishna everywhere in Shyam Sundar form. Yam Shyam Sundaram Achindya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That is Premanjana Jhirida Bhakti Vilavachanena. So, a devotee who really has love for Krishna, he can see Krishna everywhere. He can see Krishna everywhere. In fact, in a conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, this point is very elaborately mentioned, because Ramananda Roy, when he looked, when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was seeing Shyam Sundar. He was seeing Shyam Sundar. So Ramananda Roy told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You are not different from Shyam Sundar, because I can see you are Shyam Sundar. I can see your form. I can see your yellow dhoti. I can see your peacock feather." So Mahaprabhu said, "No, it's not because of me. It's not because of me. It is because of your devotion. Because then he quoted this verse. Stavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tar murti sarvatra hoy nija ishta deva spurti. So the Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. The Stavara and Jangama, which is movable and immovable. Everywhere the pure devotee sees the Ishtadev, he sees the Supreme Lord. So Mahaprabhu told Ramananda, it's not because I am actually Supreme Lord. See the humility of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, he is Supreme Lord himself. He is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Krishna, no different from Krishna. But when Ramananda was seeing Krishna directly in front of him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting. Whereas the so-called incarnations, they are subjected to death. Still they are claiming they are God. So see the difference. In Vrindavan, when Mahaprabhu was there, when devotees said, you are not different from Krishna, Mahaprabhu used to close his ears and he used to say, Vishnu, 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 don't say this. We can see Mahaprabhu was so adamant on this point, so he was enforcing this to himself and to other devotees. In fact, when Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, the local people, they used to say that there is this Kaliya, the whole Kaliya pastime is going on in Yamuna. They used to say, in the night, they could see Kaliya serpent and they could see Krishna dancing on the foots of Kaliya. So there was a whole propaganda in Braj by the local people. And when Mahaprabhu's servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he also said, he told Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, tomorrow night I want to go for the show. It's like, we want to go for some movie show. In the same way, Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, I want to go and see this. I want to witness this. You know what Mahaprabhu did immediately? He slapped on his face straight. That was the reaction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Slapped on his face straight. And he said, you are a learned scholar and you know that a Leelavata wouldn't dissent in the age of Kali. And how can you say that Krishna is performing this dance on top of Kaliya now? So Mahaprabhu is quoting Shastra. He's not speculating. His Supreme Lord is quoting Shastra and he's chastised this kind of attitude. And later they found that, what was the whole story? There was a fisherman, that's all. There was a fisherman and they were thinking the eyes of Kaliya, that was the lamp. Night they were going for fishing, so the lamp was, the eyes were just the lamp. And the wind, the whole thing was moving, so they thought that is actually the dancing of Krishna. So this was the whole story. So this happened even 500 years back. So as Kaliya progressed, what can we say? We can see that, in many places, this kind of incarnations. So the point is, a pure devotee can actually see Krishna. So Ramananda actually saw Krishna. So seeing Krishna has its sadhana aspect, as a practicing devotee, we have to see Krishna's hand in everything. And also as a perfected sage, for a siddha, for a devotee who is perfect, he can see Krishna in a much higher way in everywhere. So this is the second point, that is seeing Krishna in matter. And coming to the third point, that is again when this matter and spirit is there, there is a transformation of matter into the spirit. So that is specifically for us, for neophyte devotees or for sadhakas. This is a very important concept. That is transformation of matter into the spirit. And that is the whole principle of deity worship. That is transformation of matter into the spirit. So Krishna expands. Here there's a beautiful narration given how he expands. It's given by the Atma Maya. He can expand himself into innumerable forms. Ajavisan avyatma bhutanam ishirovisan prakritim samadhishtaya sambhavami atmamaya. That will be the fourth chapter. Ajopisan, even though Krishna is unborn, avyatma, his body never deteriorates, bhutanam ishirovisan, and he is the lord of all living entities. Still, prakritim samadhishtaya sambhavami atmamaya, by his internal potency, he manifests himself in the material world. So this is one aspect of the Lord. And he has innumerable expansions. So primarily the Lord's expansion are classified. One is para, one is vyuha, vaibhava, antaryami and archa. So first one, para is his original form, right? His original form as Shyamsundar, that is the para form of the Lord. Then he has his vyuha expansion. You know, we know Chaturvyuha, the quadruple expansion of Krishna. So that is the vyuha expansion. Then he has his vaibhava expansion. Primarily we can see the Leelavatars are vaibhava expansion. Krishna comes, you know, when he comes to the material world or, you know, different Leelavatars of the Lord, that is vaibhava. Then he has his feature as Antaryami, the Lord situated in everyone's heart. And these four aspects are not accessible by a conditioned soul. Not possible. Generally, it is impossible to access any of this form. But the only form which is accessible for conditioned being is Archa. That is the deity form of the Lord. And how the deity form of the Lord manifests, very nicely explained in Sri Isha Upanishad, that is, it's the transformation of matter into spirit. So the Lord can be made of stone or wood or, you know, paint or mud or jewel or metal. So it can, or mind. So the Lord's form can be made of any of these material elements. These are actually material elements. But Srila Prabhupada explains, by the process of installation, when a pure devotee invites the Lord unto that form, then that matter is transformed into spirit. So it's completely, so that Lord reciprocates self as much as the para form of the Lord. It's only dependent on our consciousness, that's all. The Lord can completely reciprocate. We know the many pastimes to narrate this. You know, one is, you know, we know the Sakshi Gopal, how the Lord came as witness. We know that pastime. We know the pastime with the Raghunandan Das Thakur. You know, how the Lord, the deity form, personally came and ate bhoga. We know about the pastime with the Madhavendra Puri, like Kshirchor Gopinath. How the Lord is happily stored the sweet rice for his pure devotee. So there are many pastimes which actually elaborate this point. That is, how the Lord is not different from the Archa form. It's the same Lord is present here. Now, for a neophyte it is very important, but at the same time, who is already perfected, even for them also, they worship the Supreme Lord in the Archa form. Even though they don't have to, they can see the Lord everywhere, but they can worship the Archa form of the Lord as well. We can see all the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are pure devotees. They had their deities. And here, this is also a deity of a pure devotee. Like, Radhavallabha is a deity of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a deity of pure devotee. So a pure devotee has worshipped these deities. So pure devotees can also worship deity worship. But it's an essential element of sasaka to go get out from the material conception of life to understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. So with this, I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, please. Which one?
The energies, the material energy and the transcendental spiritual energy of the Lord. Would it actually be transformation or unification of the two?
Unification. Okay. From the perspective of the Lord, all energies are spiritual. So, when you say matter is nothing but transformation of spiritual energy, internal energy into the external energy. So there is a kind of a transformation, we can say. In other words, it's actually spiritual energy, but it is matter for us. For the Lord, it is not matter. So, recently I was reading in the fourth canto, in Prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, this point again comes about the internal energy. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, internal energy, antaranga shakti, when it has to associate with the temporary nature, then it is, we can see, it as external energy. So that is the understanding of the external energy. Now, in the form of deity worship, when the Lord desires, it can immediately act as the self-same internal energy. So installation is a process where the Lord, by the request of his pure devotee, agrees to be the internal potency of the Lord. So the manifestation is, in that way, it is transformed into the internal potency. That's my understanding. So it's, you know, there's no difference. In that sense, there's a transformation. It's not matter in that sense.
My question arises from the understanding that different energies cannot change. Lord cannot become the Tadastha. The Tadastha cannot become internal. The internal cannot become Tadastha.
Mm-hmm.
So these three energies always stay ontologically what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Lord stays the Lord. Associate stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nityabandhas are jivas who can elevate to, but are always ontologically jivas.
Yeah.
They cannot transform, interchange. The Lord cannot become jiva, jiva cannot become God, obvious, something like that. So, transformation was a little, now I understand, because it is from our perspective.
It's from our perspective.
From
the Lord's perspective, it's actually internal for him, because the Lord cannot associate with anything material. He cannot associate with the external energy. So I'll give you another example to explain. So in the same purport, in the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada explains that, say suppose we are offering prayers or we are offering foodstuff to the Lord, bhoga. So the bhoga by nature, what is it? It is material. By nature, it is material. So how can the Lord accept something which is material? Everything, whatever we are offering, we can only offer material things. Even our thoughts, prayers, in that respect, it is material in that sense, because it is product of the mind, which is made of three modes of material nature. So there, Prabhupada says, or the sincerity of the devotee, or further expression is given, that sincerity of the devotees actually converts, transforms it into bhakti shakti. So then that bhakti shakti is relished by the Lord. So here, how the transformation happens by the sincerity of the devotees. We don't have any ability to transform or make it, but the Lord, accept in its spiritual form. Then it becomes Mahaprasad. Of course, it has its nature is not changed in one sense, in the sense, as you are pointing out, that even Mahaprasad, after a few days, because it has its material component to it, it can degrade. And we don't artificially eat after if it is stale. We don't artificially show renunciation. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, he used to clean and eat. Mahaprasad, he used to clean and eat. We don't artificially immediately, if it is in a fall in a place filthy and we cannot artificially eat. We cannot do that. We respectfully, but we understand, if there is some virus, the prasad is actually spiritual, but the bacteria or virus, they are not spiritual. Will affect us straight away. So we are practical. So you understand that point. So that's what I meant by transformation. Even I can't explain transformation any further, because it's beyond me, at least. Transformation energy, we can say, but it's beyond. In that sense, I use the word transformation. So yeah. So there is that kind of a change, because otherwise the Lord cannot accept. Thank you. Anything? Yes. That's our whole philosophy. So another, we can actually, if you want to make that point a little bit more further, we can use the term, in English we use it, spiritualized. That is another way of saying, so this microphone is spiritualized because we are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. But in a higher spirit, we can see, it is spiritual in that sense, so I think it's a bit of a terminology rather than, anything. Yeah. Yeah, one feel connection to Guru, one feel connection to Prabhupada, etc. by following the instruction. When we say we had to see connection through Vani. As simple as that. It's very practical in that respect. Because if you have Guru, if you read Srila Prabhupada books, then there are instructions straight away. So if we are following those instructions, then we are connected. So Srila Prabhupada was completely connected to his spiritual master. To give an example to this, so we know that many examples, but just one point. Srila Prabhupada said that he was thinking, you know, he was thinking deeply. So he said, I am always thinking, or one devotee asked, how do you get so many examples, you know, regarding, you know, we are not the body, we are the soul. Prabhupada gave many, many examples to illustrate this point. So Srila Prabhupada said that I constantly think about it. How to come up with newer and newer examples to prove that we are not the body and we are the spirit soul. To prove that, to explain this, Srila Prabhupada is thinking. So, to a certain extent, he understood his audience. So, in all circumstances, Srila Prabhupada wanted to give this knowledge. In all circumstances. So, please do not deviate or please do not please do not neglect this point. Because this is one of our essential points. So, in fact, in Radhashrami in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, and all the devotees expected this is Vrindavan and this is Radhashrami, and Srila Prabhupada is going to speak about Radharani. All devotees were completely eager. Now, this is the time, you know, because Srila Prabhupada has been spoken so much about Srimati Radharani so much. Now, this is the Vrindavan, this is Radharani. Now, we are going to hear all the nectar. So, devotees were waiting like that, but Srila Prabhupada only spoke that we are not the body. We are the spirit soul. He was emphasizing this point again and again. So to come to the platform, to make us understand, okay, if we miss this point, then everything doesn't make a lot of sense. So the point here is Srila Prabhupada is constantly thinking to fulfill this, fulfill the mission of the spiritual master. Even just to give this example. So you see how they are connected. And Prabhupada said, you know, I am never separated from my spiritual master. So it's just an example of a pure devotee, how he's intimately connected with his spiritual master through following the instructions. Because Srila Prabhupada's internal meditation must be very high, but at the same time, on the given task, he's thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Even for us, we have to, you know, we think about Krishna, but we have to have the instruction of the spiritual master has to be carried forward. So, in that way, we feel connected. And to the deities, we can pray to the deities. We can see all our actions are connected to the deities. That is one thing. And we can pray to the deities and we can see reciprocation from the deities. We feel connected. Practically we can see that. So, is that okay? Okay. Any? Yeah.
We mentioned that if you describe the pastime of Krishna to very sincere, that would be great.
Is they here? Yeah. Yeah. So that is given, that point is given by Parikshit Maharaj or Shuddha Goswami in Bhagavatam, in the Rasila chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is mentioned. The verse is saying, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that. Is very immediately one will lose taste for sex. Vikriditam, then the famous verse, Vikriditam Vraja Vadhaviditam Cha Vishnu, that verse it says. It's mentioned that one will lose taste for all kind of material affairs if he hear Rasalila. But there is a clause to that. What is that? Say, if a person is sick, okay, very sick, and there are certain kind of medicines which are very powerful, but that demands a certain kind of health to administer that medicine. Can you understand? If the body is too weak, and if you administer that medicine, person will die. If one has a sufficient health and if you give that medicine, then it will cure the disease. Now certain, you know, if you go to a doctor in a very, you know, when the body is very, very weak, in a certain conditions, in a very diseased, certain medicines can be given, it is the right solution, but it can only be given when the body has certain kind of strength. Otherwise it will create an adverse effect. The person is dying, then what kind of treatment can you do? So in the same way, the intimate pastimes of Krishna is the right and the ultimate medicine to remove the lust from the heart. There is no other medicine other than the intimate pastimes of Krishna to remove the most deep-rooted lust within the heart. There is no other medicine. But to take that medicine, one has to be qualified. So part of that qualification is, don't hear that in detail. Whatever is in Krishna book, whatever is written in Bhagavatam, we listen and leave it there. We don't meditate on that because we are not qualified. So first, follow four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, and progress. And the anarthas within the heart is all the gross, most of the things are gone. And when one is qualified for this medicine, then one can take this medicine. So it's clear. So there's a time for administration of this medicine. There's nothing wrong with the medicine, but we had to be qualified. And that is the ultimate solution. Thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.